God created us with eyes, which means we were created to want. We see people, we see opportunities, we see things that we believe would please us, and so we want them. There was a commercial years ago that had the theme song, "I want it all, I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now." That's pretty indicative of the urge that infuses most of our personalities. We want what we want. That is why when you go to the grocery store, you find that they have placed the candy right by the checkout aisles, because they know that 50% of mothers and 100% of fathers are going to answer that child's call, "I want," just to keep the peace. I want is the urge that swells up within all of us, and that's one of the reasons we honor mothers on this day, because mothers are the first ones truly to respond to that primal urge within us, "I want." Good mothers teach us when to want something, when to want something else, and when to accept the word no. The best mothers teach us how to want what we want. So we turn to Hannah, who is a paradigm in spiritual heroism. You can leap to the end of Hannah's story, which has a happy ending, but if you do, you miss her pain and her anguish and the depth and the heroism of her pilgrimage. You see, Hannah was married to Elkanah, and Elkanah was a bigamist. He had two wives, which in a culture where women had no economic or legal or social opportunities, that may have been a decent system. But having two wives did not make Elkanah's life, his home life, any easier. In fact, there was a built-in imbalance, because Elkanah's other wife was Peninnah, whom he called Penny. And Penny was as fertile as a rabbit. She turned out children on a rat-a-tat-tat basis, which really pleased Elkanah. So when the family would go for a holy pilgrimage, the whole family went, but Hannah, who had no children, was considered cursed by God because of her barrenness. So they would go to Shiloh for this big family Thanksgiving. And Elkanah would shower presents upon Penny because she was so fertile. And Penny, in a very thoughtful way, would let Hannah know about all the nice things Elkanah had done for her, just to make sure in case Hannah had missed any of that. Pretty miserable existence. Hannah had eyes, and she wanted what Penny had. No, not the material stuff that Elkanah lavished on her. She didn't care a flip about that. But she wanted the joy of bearing a child. In fact, she wanted to bear a son. And she had a plan. And she had a prayer. While the family was feasting, she snuck away to the tabernacle, to the tent, the holy place. And there she poured out her heart in earnest prayer unto God. "Lord, I want a baby. I want a baby boy, and I want it not because I'm worthy, but because I know you are gracious and good. My desire is to glorify you, and if you give me this baby to prove my faith, I will give that baby back to you to be your servant." Now, understand that wanting what we want can often make our lives miserable. When things don't turn out like we desire, when our dreams don't pan out just as we intended, we can regard our life as a miserable toil. We can view all of life through the prism of our disappointment and never enjoy any of life's goodness. Hannah does not do that. Hannah's first lesson in teaching us how to want what we want is this. She is willing to turn her ambition completely and absolutely over to God. Years ago, I took time one year to read a multi-volume biography of Abraham Lincoln. And then I followed that by reading a multi-volume biography of Robert E. Lee. And I realized that both men put the Civil War in theological perspective. Both of them came to the conclusion God is sovereign over all history, and God will shape human history in accordance with the divine design. Now, even though both men realized that God was sovereign, they realized that did not absolve them of responsibility to act. But both came to the same conclusion. Humans are God's agents. God is not humanity's agent. We are intended by our Creator to be instruments of the divine. But the divine is not an instrument of human desire. Part of learning how to want what we want is realize God is not some cosmic genie who's there to satisfy our wishes. No. Though we implore God to meet our needs, though we cast our burdens upon God, though we ask God to give us what we desire in accordance with Jesus' own instructions. Nevertheless, whatever our petition unto God, it has to be coupled with that pregnant phrase that Jesus added in the prayer of Gethsemane, "Lord, not my will, but thine be done." When we can truly pray and mean, "Not my will, but thine be done," then we turn whatever our ambition, whatever we desire, completely and wholly over to God. That is what Hannah does when she prays unto God, "I beg you for a baby boy, not as a sign of my worthiness, but as a sign of your graciousness. And if you grant my request, I will turn that baby back over to you as your lifelong servant." Comedy intrudes. Eli happens to look in the tent and finds one woman slumped over during this holiday season, and he thinks she's sleeping off a hangover. He would not be the last minister to look out over the congregation and have that suspicion. But Hannah says, no, sir. I am pouring out my anguish. She shares with him her pain and her prayer. And Eli says to her, "Go in peace, young lady. God will grant your request." And the scriptures say that Hannah went away and her countenance was no longer sad. Part of handling our ambition, part of dealing with what we want, is making sure that our desire does not turn us bitter and does not make us lose perspective. Spiritual heroism often involves the ability to summon and access sources of joy, even amid circumstances that are not joyous. Sometimes when people are miserable, they want everyone to know they're miserable. And they want everyone around them to be miserable too. Hannah does not do that. Even though her ambition has not been granted, she trusts God absolutely, and the scriptures say her countenance was no longer sad. She went back home, and even though from the outside nothing had changed, inside she had peace. She was able to do that because she practiced the wisdom of an old wives' axiom. A watched pot never boils. A watched pot never boils, which is to say, when you truly want something, the way to help bring it about is not to become fixated on it, but to go on and do other things. A watched pot never boils. Just don't become so fixated on your desire, but go on with life. That's what Hannah did. And to her amazement and joy, she soon became pregnant. Life is funny that way. Sometimes when we want what we want, we receive it by not fixating on it, but we're going on with life. The problem is, oftentimes spiritual maturity fails not because of failure, but because of success. Hannah has prayed to God for this baby boy, and now she has one, Samuel, asked of God. But the question becomes, do I keep my end of the bargain? After soul wrenching, soul searching, she concludes, I must. And so when the boy was appropriately old enough, she took Samuel to Eli and handed him over unto God. And she went back to central Judah, back to obtuse Elkanah, back to smirking Penny, back to being childless. Why? Why make a deal with God to receive what your heart most desires and then return it to God? The answer is, Hannah had the spiritual maturity to keep her means and her end in clear perspective. To keep her means and her end in clear perspective. What do I mean? I mean that her stated ambition in life was to give glory to God. And she saw having a baby boy as a means to that end. But if she kept that baby for herself, then her means would have become her end. Samuel would have been her God and not God. My late father had a friend, construction man in Birmingham. And when he was a very young man and started his construction business, he said to God, you and I are partners. A lot of young business people make that promise to God. But this man said, Lord, since you and I are partners, we're in this 50-50. Whatever my profits are, you get half of them because we're partners. Well, at the start, that was half of nothing. But then it became half of $1 million. And then half of $5 million. Then half of $10 million. And the most successful construction man in Birmingham, it became half of a vast fortune. And somewhere along the way, that businessman could have said, I'm the one doing the work here, Lord. I'm the one doing the sweat. Why am I giving you half the profits? But he realized a deal was a deal. And if he started keeping more of the profit for himself, then the profit became his end rather than the means for glorifying his God. Part of spiritual maturity is keeping your means and your end in proper perspective. And sometimes to truly want what we want, we have to practice a holy carelessness. A holy carelessness. It means that even though we want what we want, we put it in perspective that if glorifying God is truly our goal, then all else is a means to that. Hannah wanted a baby, that was important. The businessman wanted money, that was important. But both of them realized that those were just means to the end of glorifying God. And so Hannah surrendered her baby, and the businessman surrendered half of his profits. Don't you think that it ripped up Hannah's gut to hand Samuel over? Sure it did. But she believed that God would nurture her in her anguish. When we are in the midst of wanting something we want so badly, when we're in the midst of desiring an ambition to come to fruition, there are moments of anguish, and we have to trust that God will nurture us in that anguish. And sure enough, Hannah got pregnant again, and again, and again, and again, and again, until she learned the wisdom of another old wives' axiom: be careful what you want for, because sometimes you just might get it. But even with the birth of her sixth child, I don't think Hannah complained. She knew that to nurture and to be nurtured was the very nature of her existence. We're made to want. Our desires help define our lives. But we cannot let our desires so dominate our lives that it renders us incapable of joy until we get just what we want in the way we want it. That great hymnologist, Mick Jagger, put it in theological perspective. You can't always get what you want, but if you'll try sometimes, you just might find you get what you need. The great motherly influences in our lives have tried to teach us that. They don't always give us what we want. They do try to give us what we need. And hopefully we will learn what Hannah learned, that a dream given over to God is a dream that will be achieved. It may not be achieved in the way we expect it. It may not be achieved in the way we desire it. But when we give a dream to God, it will be ultimately achieved. Because when we turn our dreams, our desires, our ambitions totally over to God, what we really turn over to God is ourselves. What we really turn over to God is ourselves. And that, my friends, is the whole point of our faith in our spiritual pilgrimage.